This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
First, I have an announcement to make. The announcement is my lecture that I thought I saved on this memory stick is not on the memory stick. Which means I have to give you the lecture as I remember it. Maybe it will be more exciting. I don't know. But let me start by saying that this is the third lecture of a series of lectures which I'm giving. And it is based on a number of lectures that was given by a man by the name of Al-Awlaqi. Remember him? Al-Awlaqi? Al-Awlaqi was killed by a drone, an American drone. And he was about 40 years old, and his son, who was about 18 years old, was also killed by a drone. And his daughter, who was 6 years old, was also killed by an American drone. And all these three murders was signed off by the President of America. First, the first black President of America signed off on Awlaqi's death, and for the other two, the one is going to become listed now in the United States, he signed it off. Now, they agreed that they'll drop bombs on these two kids and on their father. They destroyed the whole family. And thinking about this all the time while I was reading this and looking at this was that, why did they do this? Why did they go so far as to want to kill three people with drone bombs? For what? What was the great thing? There must have been a massive thing that drove them to do this. And the massive thing in my mind that drove them to do this was fear. They feared. What did they fear? They feared that if they only killed the father and not the son and not the daughter, the daughter and the brother or the son will take up the cudgels after the death of their father. They'll become mujahideen. They were fighting the path of Allah like their father fought in the path of Allah. That was the fear. And the fear was that they didn't want his message to pass on to his children so that they can spread the message of deen, of the Quran, of jihad. What is jihad? What is jihad in Islam? Jihad is to defend the rights of Muslims and everybody else. And also to make people aware of the iniquities and the suppression and the harm that has been done to Muslims and Islam over a long period of time. So that was Awlaqi. And when I read this, when I wrote this down, I smiled to myself and I said, they thought they're going to kill the message of Awlaqi. Awlaqi was in Yemen. I'm sitting where? The tip of Africa. Number of years ago, and I'm giving his message to the Muslims. Hello. And that is how people think. That's how stupid people think, ignorant people think. Well, if he's gone, then it's gone. No. Nothing is gone until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala signs it off. Nothing happens unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed it. And our biggest concern today is what? Our biggest concern today is, and the biggest question in our minds is, when is Allah going to bring relief to the Muslims? Isn't it so? When is Allah going to bring relief to the Muslims? After all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings victory when he wants to bring victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge of everything. So why? So it's a human question. Prophet asked the same question. Mata Nasrullah. Mata Nasrullah. Quran says, what was the question? Prophet asked, Ya Allah, when is the victory going to come? Lots of victories have come before this, but we are now also, because as I said last week, we are exactly the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must be happy and contented that we live in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything that is happening today happened in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People hated the deen, they hated the person who brought the deen. They wanted to kill him like now. the West wants to kill. If they can kill all the Muslims, that is the objective. I mean, the start of what is happening in the Middle East is just the beginning of what they think they're going to get away with. And Allah's given them already a message. Allah's already sent them a message. Allah sent the Americans directly a message in the last few days. And what was that? He set fire to what place? Los Angeles. Which part of Los Angeles? The part where those people who have supported Israel in the genocide and have said it in so many words. No stopping the fighting, no stopping the killing, no stopping no stopping that. And that man, I saw him sitting in his house was a fire. Fire, and he said to himself, what am I going to do now? He just had enough time to get out of his house. He couldn't even take his clothes with him. And that fire came right down. Everyone that was for the genocide, all their homes Allah destroyed, and more. You remember, these people live in places where, you know, there's water, there's fire engines, everything is there for them. Everything is there for them. And of course, they live in America. And they're the stars on the you know, people watch on the movies. They're billionaires. So Allah is sending the message, whether you're a billionaire, where you live in Los Angeles or in New York, wherever you hide yourself, there's no place to hide. Not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask ourselves the question then, Mata Nasrullah? Let us continue with our, in the last time we spoke, I spoke about incidents that happened. That there was a person who said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned something, when Allah planned something, He removes all the things that stands in the way of that thing happening. Allah decides. And when Allah decides something, and Allah decides in His own time. Allah has His own timing. And we will hear today, if I remember what I have to remember, we see Allah's hand in everything. We see Allah plans everything. Now, you know, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Makkah, and he started preaching the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody wanted to listen to him. In fact, nobody did listen to him. He preached to them for 10 years. 10 years the Prophet preached in Makkah. After the 10 years, he thought, well, I have to break my borders, you know. I'm stuck here in Makkah. I have to do something more, you know. Nobody else except the ones that have converted to Islam, nobody else wanted to become Muslim. SubhanAllah. So he decided he was going to Taif. While you're sitting there, make dua for my memory. He decided he was going, and what spurred him on to go to Taif? His beloved uncle died. What was his name? Abdul Muttalib, Abu Talib. Abu Talib was his uncle. Uncle died, and who else died? His wife died. Khadija died. So he lost the two loves of his life, his uncle and his wife. And he decided to go where? He decided to go to Taif. I've never been there. I'm sure some of you have been to Taif, which is close to Makkah, on the hills there, somewhere at the back. And he went there, and what happened there? You know what happened. They rejected him, chased him away, told the children to stone him while he was walking so that the blood ran down into his slippers and went to sit on the side of the road. And he said to Allah, Ya Allah, is this now? He said to Allah, why am I being treated like this? After all, I only came to give da'wah to these people. I've never been treated as I'm treated now. And he spoke to Allah, and he spoke from his heart. You see, as Ya Allah, you cross with me. There's nothing I can do about it. But at least, you know, give me a break, in other words. Don't be so harsh on me. This was who? This was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
that was in touch with Allah through whom? Through Jibreel. He was directly in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these 10 years, the second thing he used to do was every Hajj. Now you know the time the people of Jahiliyyah also went for Hajj. People of Jahiliyyah, the worshippers, the worshippers of the idols, they also came for Hajj every year. So every year, for 10 years, the people used to go to them when they were on Mina. And went to every tribe. Lots of tribes came from all over Arabia. And used to ask him, please, can you just help me to give this da'wah? Can you just assist me? I don't want you to become Muslim. Assist me in my da'wah. Assist me in what I'm calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all refused. Nobody accepted. So he was, at the time, his lowest moment in his life was the Prophet ﷺ didn't know where to turn now. He didn't know the rest of Arabia. He lived his whole life in Mecca. He never saw Medina. He went to trade in the north, northern countries, southern countries. But Arabia he didn't know. He only knew the people of Mecca. So what to do now? What was he going to do? Or what was Allah like the people in Gaza? I mean, many of them lived there since the time of their great-great-great-grandparents. They have nowhere else to go. Not that they only don't have anywhere else to go. All the Muslim countries have closed their borders for them. SubhanAllah. And so it fell to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the Quraysh was now starting to attack the Muslims. They was trying to kill this small band of Muslims that became, that accepted Islam in Mecca. So what happened? How did the fortunes of the Prophet ﷺ change? We may say, how are the fortunes of the people of Gaza changed? I'm asking you the questions. This man, Muhammad ﷺ, was there in this place called Mecca. He maybe had about 50 converts or 60 converts in 10 years. So he's lost. I mean, where is he going to go now? He's gone to the Taif, which is the nearest place, people that he know, he thought they would accept Islam. All the non-believers came to Hajj, and he thought maybe they will be, they will at least listen to him and encourage him. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, after Allah decided what he was going to give the Prophet as a gift, Aisha said to tell the people that the Battle of Bu'ath was the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what is the Battle of Bu'ath? The Battle of Bu'ath, there were two tribes in Medina. Now remember, the Prophet had nothing to do with Medina. He had zero to do with Medina. He was never there, he didn't know anybody from Medina. He had zero. Like, I mean, if you ask me about Timbuktu, I would say, well, you know, heard about, but never been there. Aisha used to tell the people, Allah gave the Battle of Bu'ath as a gift from himself to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah saw the state of the, but this thing that happened only happened 5 years later. 5 years later. What happened? There were two tribes in what was then known as, not Medina, Yathrib. That was the name given by who? By the idol worshippers. There were two idol worship tribes in Medina. Two tribes. Both of them were idol worshippers. One's name was the Aus and the Khazraj. Aus and the Khazraj. Two tribes. These tribes also wanted nothing to do with Muhammad. They were idol worshippers. Then there were maybe a tribe or two of Jews in Medina. They also didn't like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to like him until they found that he was an Arab. Why did they like him before? Because their scriptures told them that a man was going to come from Arabia and he was going to become the prophet of the Jews. But the Jews assumed that you would be a Jew as well. So when they heard he wasn't a Jew, they sorry. Even if God tells us he's going to be our leader, sorry, we don't accept, he's not a Jew. So these two tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj, they never liked each other. And they were always fighting with each other. Both was from Yemen. They used to get up in the morning, dress themselves in their clothes of fighting, go to the battlefield and fight. Every single morning they would go out and fight with each other. At least we're not like that yet. May Allah protect us. So, for years and years and years is to fight. Nobody wins. Everybody loses. Then one day, best battle that happened was called the Battle of Bu'ath. Not Mu'ath, Bu'ath. What happened on this day? On this day, as normal, the Aus and the Khazraj went out with their swords or whatever they had on the battlefield. And at this Battle of Bu'ath, the leadership of both tribes were killed. The Allah, we must never doubt the love that Allah has for this Ummah and for His Prophet Muhammad. We must never doubt that victory is us. Allah makes a promise in the Quran that we will be victorious. That this deen will reach the interior of every home, every place where people stay. The Islam will enter that home and Islam will take over that home. So, the leaders are dead, killed. So now Medina was leaderless. No leader. So now these two tribes stopped fighting because they had no leaders, and everybody was concerned about leadership. It's very important. Most important part of Islamic life is to have a leader that leads you. Even in your prayer, you have a leader that leads you. Your battlefield, everywhere. And they were stuck. They didn't want to take the Jews didn't want to take them. So these two tribes used to come for Hajj every year. There was one year when they came after they lost their leadership. When they said to themselves, there's a prophet in Medina. He's a good man. Let us ask him to become our leader. And of course, story is a very famous story that they came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, we will support you. And they became Muslims and they went back. And when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made hijrah from Makkah to Medina, he called them who? Not Aus and Khazraj anymore. They now became the Ansar. Ansar means helpers. The helpers, they became helpers. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned the victory of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, he didn't leave Makkah as a victor. He left Makkah, he had to run away from Makkah. Go at night. And remember that Medina is 500 kilometers away from Makkah. 500, approximately 500. Maybe 450 or 60 kilometers away. So it was far away, it wasn't neighbors. So Aisha used to say that this was the gift that Allah gave. Obviously what happened was he became the leader. He even became the leader of the Jews. Everybody in Medina voted for him as their leader. Even those people who had not yet converted to Islam. SubhanAllah. So don't despair in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's got a plan for you, for your wife, for your children, for your neighbors, for your country, for your people, for the Muslims. So Allah's in charge. This earth is just so small compared to the universe. So small. Like tiny, you can't see it under a microscope. If Allah is in charge of this whole big universe, And remember, Allah is looking at you all the time and at me all the time. We're always under the surveillance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does Allah look at? Does Allah listen to what we say? Not very much. Allah looks at what we think and what we feel. Nobody can see this and nobody can see it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody can listen to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as looking at your heart and saying, let's see the strength of the Muslim heart. Let's see how they depended on me. Let's see what their tawakkul is like on me. Get to Allah. Not, you know, they're in dismay, they give up. You know, the groceries are going up, milk is going up. We pay for water, you know, we don't know about tomorrow. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Don't you worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow belongs to Allah. Tomorrow doesn't exist. Tomorrow will only exist when the sun rises tomorrow. Today, there is no tomorrow, as they always say. There's no tomorrow. Show me tomorrow. Who's living tomorrow? Nobody. Only one who knows about tomorrow is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to put our faith, whether we like it or not, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a joy for us to put our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes victory. Victory comes. You can have all the muscle in the world, all the airplanes in the world, all the bombs in the world, everything in the world. How will the West lose the battle? I said to you last week. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran, how will the West lose the battle? What did I say? Anybody remember? Will they lose the battle on the battlefield? No. They can't lose the battle on the battlefield. It's too much against them. So how will they win? How will the Muslims win this battle against the West? No. We will win this battle. This world battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Not by them having all the arms that they have, and all the bombs that they have, and all the nuclear weapons that they have, and owning all the TV sets and whatever, media. No, they're not going to win. They're going to win by losing what? By losing what? No, I didn't do this last week, week before last. So your memories are shorter than mine. I appreciate that. Yeah. You weren't here. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are going to win this war by them losing their money. Remember? By them losing their wealth. The West will lose their wealth. Because what are they depending on now? On their wealth. But if you read through the newspapers, you will read how the wealth is becoming nothing. The dollar is going. Cryptocurrency is maybe taking over. Europe is bankrupt, they don't say this, but they don't have money. And America could only pay, they could only give so much in charity to Israel. They can only give so much. Allah's patient. And what is happening? Things are happening in front of us. History is unfolding in front of us. There's Syria. Alhamdulillah, it's on a better wicket. Alhamdulillah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give them success in this new venture of this, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make. Remember, where is Nabi Isa going to come? Where is he going to come? Syria. In which place? Syria. Nabi Isa is going to come down in Damascus. Is it?
Yeah.
So, if you know a little bit of the history, what does it tell you? Allah is doing what? What is Allah doing? Allah is preparing. Allah is preparing in front of us. We said, how is Nabi Isa going to come there? The place is there, my God, people are killing each other. Maybe they kill Nabi Isa also, you know. In 1 week, this new people took over the country. In 1 week. SubhanAllah. They were in power, the assets for what? How many years? 20 years? 25 years? Because Allah can change. In 1 week, Allah changes. So when we look at the Middle East, we should not be dismayed. We should be heartful and thankful that we are Muslim. We should be heartful and thankful that our children will be Muslim. That this is the message that we can give them. That this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Just waiting to punish us, looking at us, seeing what we do wrong. And then we do all kinds of funny things to be forgiven. We join this group because that group says, you know, don't worry. Tiyama, you know, don't worry, we'll sort you out. The other group comes, that group also says, my leader will sort you out. Don't worry, we'll sort you out. Isn't it? And then we go from that group to that group to that group until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wishes, He will guide us. Inna Allah yahdi man yasha. Don't think you can do what you want. Allah will guide you if you want to be guided. You say, Allah, I want to be guided. I want to be a good Muslim. I want to go to Jannah. Then don't go out of your door and look for somebody. Say, Ya Allah, guide me. That is what Allah does. Allah guides. And when you're not doing the right thing, Allah misguides. I was telling this hadith to my grandson yesterday. He's about 12 years old. But he always wants to know, you know, what's happening in the other world? What's happening, you know? How is Allah, you know? Who is Allah? Children ask to be these questions. So I still made him tell a hadith about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once gathered the malaika and said to them, I want to tell you about the last person who is going to come out of Jahannam. Now, what does that mean? That means the last person will come out of Jahannam. The last person. So what kind of person would you think would that man have been? If he's the last person to be in Jahannam of the Muslims, then he must have been the worst person, isn't it? There's nobody worse than a man who comes last out of Jahannam. So as he's coming out of Jahannam, he throws himself on the lawn outside the Jahannam. And he says, Ya Allah, like we would say shukran. Ya Allah, alhamdulillah. Ya Allah, I thank you, you know. This is the best day of my life, you know. Alhamdulillah, you've saved me, you know. Alhamdulillah. So after a while, after he's now, you know, become used to that he's out of Jahannam. He says to Allah, Ya Allah, I just want one thing to ask, one favor to ask. So Allah says, ask. She says, Allah, you see that tree over there? There's a tree standing there. Can I just go and sit under that tree, under the shade of that tree? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, no more favors. Okay? No more favors. Don't ask me for anything. Don't ask him for anything anymore. So he says, oh, I promise you, Allah, I will not ask you for anything anymore. I just want to sit under that tree. She goes and he sits under the tree for a while. And he says, Ya Allah, I've got another question. This is the last favor that I'm asking. Allah says, you promised me, then you're going to... He says, just this one last favor. Allah says, what did you do? He says, there's another tree, there's a little river running under that tree. Can't I just go to wash myself? I just came out of Jahannam. Can I just go wash myself in the little stream, you know? Get the coolness after probably billions of years in Jahannam. Billions of years in Jahannam. So Allah says, final request. Go. Sit under. Go and drink of the water. So as he's sitting there, he's coming, he's now fully conscious of where he is and what he is. So he hears how the people are enjoying themselves in the jungle. Just close. You can see the doors of the jungle. Close, of course. So what do you think he does? He says, Ya Allah, can I just want to go closer to the door of the Jannah and I just want to listen to my fellow human beings, you know, are they enjoying themselves? So Allah says, so Allah didn't say last. Allah says, okay. And he said, oh, okay, can I also just go inside? Well, of course you can go inside. All your sins are now forgiven, you can go inside. So he goes inside, he comes out. Allah says, why are you coming out? You're so long, Jannah. Why are you leaving Jannah? He says, Al-Jannatu Mal'a. Al-Jannatu Mal'a. He says, Ya Rab, the Jannah is full. Full. Allah says, what? He says, yes. Allah said, go back, go quickly. Go in. He goes back in, he comes and says, Ya Allah, the Jannah is full. No place for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at him and Allah smiles at him. And Allah says to him, Abdi, my servant, my slave, what did you say if I tell you that the Jannah I've prepared for you is 10 times the size of the dunya? So he said to Allah, Ya Allah, don't make jokes. Just like he says, Ya Allah, what is this? What are you doing to me? How can you tell me this? Allah laughed. See, you are the Lord of the universe. You tell me that you've given me my size of the Jannah is equal to 10 size. What is this? This is not a kambi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when he said that to Allah, that you are the Lord of the universe and now don't make jokes with me, Allah laughed. So my grandson was very interested in Allah laughing. He says, does Allah laugh? Certainly, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, so it must be so. And this hadith is in Bukhari and it's in Muslim. So it's not some fairy tale. So the Sahaba, when they narrated this hadith to their friends, when they came to this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughed, they laughed. And the Sahaba said, why are you laughing? He said, because the Prophet laughed. When Allah laughed, the Prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I said, and this is really Allah, like I said, yes, Allah, that is Allah. That is Allah. I said, if Allah made billions of people who laughed, does he have no laughing? So that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy. So when we think about Allah, we must have these images. You can't imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ana inda abdihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am who my servant thinks I am. If you continuously think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish you, maybe that's just an effort. But if you continuously think, Ya Allah making tawbah, Ya Allah making tawbah, Ya Allah ask for forgiveness. And when you get a nice feeling over you, then you must know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving you. So Allah has His plan. The plan will come to fruition, inshallah. And it's going to be soon. If Allah is preparing a place for Isa to come down, and what is Isa going to do? Isa is going to do what? What is his main function? He's going to kill Dajjal. Where is he going to kill Dajjal? Masjid al-Aqsa. So what does it mean for Masjid al-Aqsa? Masjid al-Aqsa and all of that part of the world become Muslim. Isa will go with an army. May Allah subhanahu give that our offspring must be part of that army. Inshallah. Ameen. Thumma ameen. Thumma ameen. So we must. Yes, you must give charity. Yes, you must send money to Gaza. But don't think the West will ever win this war. They never won. They've never won against Muslims. Every war that they fought against Muslims, they lost. Afghanistan. The Soviet Union was 10 years in Afghanistan. Americans were 20 years in Afghanistan. They bombed the mountains. They made holes in mountains to find who? Bin Laden. They had to run away from there. Behind the airplanes. They had to run behind the airplanes. They couldn't even get out. They went to Iraq, they said they'll destroy Iraq. Iraq is still standing. They went to Vietnam. The Vietnamese are happy. They bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, dropped bombs on there. That country is now richer than what they are. SubhanAllah. So may Allah grant that. Allah must guide us to Islam. Allah must guide us to the truth of Islam. Allah must guide us to use The mind that is given. Allah has given us a mind. Every one of us have a his particular special mind which Allah gave. Why? Because you can't stand in front of Allah and say, but ya Allah, I listen to Chef so-and-so and Mr. So-and-so. I give you your mind. I can tell you, I understand. What did you do with it? What did you do with this what I gave you? You only became a doctor and a lawyer and you encourage your children to become that, but you never taught them how to use it to appreciate the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you tell the children the hadith, that you would appreciate the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the history of Islam, we conquered the known, Islam conquered the known civilized world, the whole of the known civilized world, when they broke out of it. Within a couple of years. Last night I was waiting for the Adhan, for Maghrib. On radio 786. And there was a man speaking on it, and he was obviously from the people who believe that we should only follow the Quran. He's called the Quraniyun. But what he said, when my wife said, why are you so upset? Upset. I said, I'm upset. He said that the hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam started only 300 years after his death. And he said that was that is the biggest problem in Islam, that community man. He said the hadith that people listen to and believe in came into existence only 300 years after the death of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what happened when after 300 years, all the trouble among the Muslims began. If he had been in my lounge there, I would have killed him. Wallahi al-Azim. Wallahi al-Azim. I swear by Allah, I would have killed him. Wallahi. So I would have to ask him a simple question. So the Quran came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran came to him, isn't it? How come we have the same Quran today? How did that happen? How did it happen that we have the same Quran today? It happened like this. Quran came, the Sahaba memorized the Quran, but what happened also? Every verse of the Quran was written down. But more importantly, what was the big gift Allah gave to the Arabs? The memory. So they memorized the whole Quran. Didn't they love? And what did they do when the Prophet said a hadith? They memorized it. Not only that, the West has been hiding the knowledge about the hadith and the history of hadith. The history of hadith is Abu Huraira had a student who wrote on every single hadith that he heard from the Prophet. And Abu Huraira, he had a student also from Yemen, and he used to ask the Nabi every day, I gave him this hadith, Ya Rasulullah, is it correct? Okay, read on this hadith. We wrote it down. That original writing down of Abu Huraira, those hadith which he memorized, is to be found in three archives in Europe. One copied from the original, another copied from the original. So those people who say that Prophet ﷺ said don't write down hadith, that is false. That is a falsehood that people like the Quran Yun come and say, no, how can you run? Nobody. Prophet said don't write it down. Prophet ﷺ gave the right to write on the hadith to people that he chose. So just as the hadith came down to us, the Quran came down to us. In writing and in memory. And the Quran is intact. Hadith is also intact. Those are hadith which Allah Subhanahu wanted to protect, Allah protected. The Quran is also that the Quran will not be changed by anybody. Shukran billahu ta'ala alam. My time is up.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I made it through. SubhanAllah.
Everything that happens, happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that happens, if I forget something, you know, by the will of Allah. What do you say? Just do the job.
Shukran.
I kept you a little longer again today, but this will be the last time. The Imam is coming back. I'm not doing this because he's not here, but if he was here, I wouldn't have gone over my half an hour. I'm going to thank him, don't worry. He's my friend, you will understand. Share my
phone. Yeah.